that. Our communities are being targeted. None of this is accidental or coincidental. We are being targeted, and our lives are continuously and consistently being hurt and harmed by the actions of corporations and by leaders like the Greater Memphis Chamber, Mayor Young, Mayor Harris, Director Taylor, who are not stepping to the, up to the plate to say, you know what, we do need to find out more information about the environmental consequences before we green light projects like this. And if I can say this, look.
And we just have 20 seconds.
Oh, go ahead. Look, we have to fight. That is our responsibility. Fight because clean air is a human right.
That's Tennessee Democratic State Representative Justin J. Pearson holding a news conference today at 4:30 in Memphis. And I want to thank Keyshawn Pearson, Executive Director of Memphis Community Action Pollution. We will continue to follow this story. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for an individual giving manager to support our fundraising team. Check it out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KRFY 88.5 Pondere.
88.5 KRFY, community-supported public radio for North Idaho.
North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. Thank you for joining us here on Friday, April 25th. My name is Jack Peterson, and I'm joined this morning by Will Love, sitting in on microphone two over there. Good morning, Will.
Good morning. I was looking over my contract with KRFY.
Yeah, that's right.
And my obligations, and it says anytime that it's nice and sunny out, like and it's Friday, I have to come in. So
yes.
Anyway, I could kind of feel that when I woke up this morning. The birds were telling me, you got
to
head in.
So. Yeah, time to go to, yes, get it. That's right, get indoors.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Many listeners will be familiar with your voice, but for those who aren't, you are a teacher at Sandpoint High School. You're here during the summer mostly, but today you have the day off.
Yeah. So media teacher at Sandpoint High School, and among mm-hmm. other things. And we've got a flex day today. So no students, and actually teachers get the day off as well. And so anyway, you texted me yesterday and I said, instead of a call, why don't I just come in?
Mm-hmm.
So glad to be here.
And here we are. I almost forgot Max Oswald, the sports reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee, is joining us as well, and we'll be doing a little rundown of spring sports and, I don't know, and the summer season approaches, whatever that means for sporting life here in Bonner County. But first, some headlines. Starting at the state level, Governor Brad Little issued an executive order on April 22nd directing the Idaho Department of Lands to increase their forest management activities on federal national forests in Idaho this summer and reduce the risk of wildfire. IDL, quote, will work with the U.S. Forest Service wherever possible to utilize all federal and state authorities to expedite active forest management and mitigate the risk of catastrophic wildfires. The executive action is dubbed the Make Forests Healthy Again Act. Timber harvest, prescribed burns, mechanical thinning, and an aggressive initial attack during the peak of wildfire season are all intended to be actions undertaken by the Idaho Department of Lands this summer, according to a press release issued by the governor's office. The Army Corps of Engineers will host two public meetings, one of them in Ponderay, one in Cusick, Washington, to inform residents about current restricted operations at Albany Falls Dam and provide status updates on the spillway gate repair that is ongoing. The meeting in Ponderay will be Thursday, May 1st. That's next Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ponderay Events Center. A status update from the Corps of Engineers about that. Coming up, here in the county, the commissioners met on April 21st to re-examine a 182-day moratorium on minor land divisions and family exemptions that they had issued on March 25th. That meeting of March 25th and then this subsequent meeting, April 21st, to address it was contentious and ruffled some feathers in the community. The board voted to admit that the meeting of March 25th violated the open meeting law because they had not issued notice that they would be discussing this potential moratorium within, they're supposed to give 48 hours notice, and they did not do so. It was announced as an emergency. At this most recent meeting on April 21st, they voted to admit that that was a violation of the open meeting law, and they have revised that moratorium, which will now go into effect on Monday, May 19th. The new moratorium will not apply to family exemptions, which the original 182-day moratorium did. The new moratorium will remain in effect until October 1st. Williams and Domke voted in favor, and Korn opposed that new moratorium. The planning department, during this period between May 19th and October 1st, will address loopholes in county code governing the minor land divisions and will aim to require proper infrastructure going forward when land is divided. Speaking of developments, the Farm and Flats, which will rename. So it will no longer be Farm and Flats, but what the project currently called Farm and Flats, the farm and name is, of course, a family name, and there are still Farmans living here in Sandpoint who raised some objections to their name being applied to the building. That building, which will go in just down the street from, or is proposed to go in just down the street from the offices of the Bonner County Daily Bee, will now actually double in size. There will be a phase one and then a phase two of equal size that will bring the total to nearly 100 units. There will be three parking spaces. The parking has been
all 100 units?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been much discussed. Yes. The three parking spaces total, not per unit. So that will be that. Yeah. The parking situation has been a a point of contention.
Well, a lot of people remember that have been around Sandpoint for a while that Sandpoint is a walking community. So
that's right. Sandpoint is a walking town. Yeah, is that sign still up somewhere?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's will be already would have been, I believe, the largest residence in what is considered kind of the residential building that in what is considered downtown Sandpoint, with the exception of the Seasons, I suppose, if you consider that as part of downtown. This would already have been the largest residential building. It is now twice the size that it was originally proposed.
The tariffs have not affected that.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. Apparently not. Okay. No. And these. And it's a real estate development group out of Utah that is, or the company at least is incorporated in Utah that is developing this currently, I suppose, unnamed building that will have a new name soon. Here in the city of Sandpoint, parking lot renovation downtown continues underway, and further parking news, which is really the focus of this show of late, it's parking situation in Sandpoint. But the parking lot renovation looks like it's proceeding on schedule, and the plan is for it to be done in time for Lost in the 50s in the middle of May. I have not heard any reason to think that they won't be, at least as of yet. Also, the Sandpoint Recreation Division is moving their offices out of City Hall to the Russell Sports Center, and all business related to the use of city-owned recreational facilities will be managed out of that location. Also, some rec programs have been canceled for the spring and summer. The department is seeking a full-time facilities supervisor, the recreation department of the city of Sandpoint. That's a bit of a change up. It's moving offices, but that will be a change at City Hall to move that department completely out of the building and now into their own space at the James E. Russell Sports Center.
Right. And I think I just received an email as a stakeholder of
person
sorts,
of interest,
yeah. A person of interest about the next phase and looking at opening that up to more activities, potentially. So in particular, it was identifying surfaces that they can add to that area. So
okay, that's interesting. Yeah. This is something that's been, it was the building, it was designed for pickleball and tennis, with pickleball and tennis in mind. The surface, I guess, is not ideal for other court sports, but they can add
a
covering.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, too, is I know that the local club lacrosse team has used it quite a bit. So
I remember going to an event and seeing them in there, actually. In further sporting news, Coach Brian Childs of the Sandpoint High School boys basketball team announced his retirement. A new coach has been announced, and his name is Will Love. Why, that's...
Hey!
That's your name, Will.
Yeah.
You have been the girls' basketball coach for how many years?
So I've been with the program 11 years total. Is that right, Max?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And then 7 years is the... I just finished up my 7th year as the head coach.
Head coach of girls' basketball.
Of girls' basketball, yes.
Okay. And you are now... we are breaking news here that you are going to be the new head coach of the boys basketball team.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
How should we do this? I can ask you some questions, Max. If you have questions for Will, fire away, I guess, and then we can do a further sports wrap up after.
So
after
I'm on.
We've
the hot...
exhausted him.
Yeah. All right. So I'm on the hot seat. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's see. You're. You applied for this job. You heard that it was opening, and you went for it.
Yeah, when I heard that Brian was retiring, there was like, hey, okay, is this something I'd be interested in? I actually got my start in coaching on the boys side at Sandpoint High School. And then also I played basketball at Sandpoint High School. So just kind of looking at a couple of things. Debbie, who a lot of people here know, Debbie Love, my wife, we talked a lot about it, looked at, obviously a lot of the positives that I've enjoyed as the coach of the girls program and what we've been able to build there was a tough thing to kind of say, do I want to walk away from? But also, you know, for several reasons, but one in particular was just kind of looking, you know, it's something that had always been a job that I kind of thought about in the past. And just, you know, as you get a little bit older, you know, the finite nature of careers, of life and stuff like that, you kind of start to think about, okay, is there going to be another opportunity for me to do this? And then also looking at the girls program, where they're at right now in regard to having 7 players returning next year. And most of those will be back for at least 2 years. There's a great opportunity for a new coach to kind of come in and have some success on that side. And so just ultimately decided, hey, let's go ahead, or I'm going to go ahead and talk to TJ about it. And, you know, like I've been hearing a lot, it kind of surprised a lot of people, but surprised TJ as well. Anyway, went through the interview process and, been fortunately named the head coach.
You mentioned you leave the girls team in a good place. You've been instrumental in kind of building that into a very strong program. I think it's safe to say that and under your coaching, they won 1 state championship and have become regularly appear in the state tournament, and go well into the postseason.
I do have to give a shout out to my assistant coaches and Coach Ward, who was the head coach and has been a mentor for me and in regard to kind of to building the program. And, you know, I walk away incredibly proud of what we've been able to accomplish on that side. I think, being able to go say that we've gone to state, I think 9 of the last 11 years in a league that only gets 1 bid to state. Traditionally only gets 1 bid to state, is pretty awesome to think about. And then also just, the relationships that I've been able to build throughout the state that, it's opened a lot of doors for our program to go and play different teams and experience different things and stuff like that. So,
yeah. You're moving over to the boys side now. How are things going to change? What do you see the difference as being when you take on a boys? It's the same sport, but what are the differences for you?
Yeah, so I think, one thing I do want to say is that, just want to shout out Coach Brian Childs and what he's done to build the program on that side. When he took over, they had a coach resign kind of partway through the season, had an interim coach, and then he came in and he's done a really, really good job. And so, anxious on that end, I think there's about 7 boys returning that have varsity experience, and, the JV and C team had some success as well. So, there's been both on the boys and girls side, Sandpoint Future, the club program has been instrumental in kind of making Sandpoint more of a basketball community, because when you look at the history of basketball, especially kind of at that state level, Sandpoint isn't traditionally in the mix. And so, so there's some talent that's coming through the program. One of the things that I'm going to have to learn how to do is how to coach 6'7" kids, you know, there's some height that's coming back. And so, so we've got that, but, you know, ultimately, I'm spending a lot of time right now meeting with players, meeting with coaches, because, you know, I don't necessarily want to come in and do a wholesale change on things and say, okay, I've got the system. Cause like I said, Coach Childs has done a tremendous job. And so just kind of talking with the different stakeholders to identify, you know, what they felt was working, what they felt maybe could be improved, and then kind of putting together a plan like that, or make, using that to create a plan. And then, you know, ultimately, I think too, you know, what I've kind of championed is the idea of how we train is maybe a little bit different than traditionally people would see. We use something called a constraints-led approach to our practices. And then also, you know, we'll use what's known as a conceptual offense and kind of the same on the defense, playing out of concepts and stuff like that. So anyway, I know that, you know, a lot of people have come and watched the girls play over the years and talked about how exciting it is to kind of watch them play. And, you know, and so that's kind of, you know, on that end, we want to do the same thing with the boys.
It's been, the girls team has been, the of the two has been the more successful in terms of just as far as wins and losses. The girls team has been more successful in recent years than the boys team has. Do you think you'll be able to bring that kind of success over to the boys team?
That's what the $64,000 question, right? Yeah. Like, and so I, you know, and that's obviously what I think about, and was something that I thought about quite a bit before applying for the job. Is that can what I do or the way I coach, will that be applicable to the boys program? And, you know, I think one of the things is that we on the girls' side, we looked at it kind of holistically, I'd say, is that it wasn't just about plays, you know, it wasn't just about practices, but, you know, we also focused a lot of stuff off the court as well. And so, you know, we worked hard with the girls in regard to kind of, you know, identifying, okay, we hear this word leadership. What does leadership actually mean? What does it look like? And so we spent a lot of time kind of focusing on things like that. And so, you know, I think if you can build an infrastructure that's based off of actually a lot more of the off-court things, I believe that that translates to the on-court success that you will have. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that's I'm excited about, and kind of some of the feedback that I have is that there's some things that I've been able to do on the girls' side that maybe maybe hasn't been implemented, or maybe I'll bring it in a or deliver kind of the methods in a in a different way that might speak to the kids. So anyway, I'm excited about that, and you know, like I said here, you know, well, ultimately, when I look at you know our mission, what I kind of look at as a coach is I you know, and I share this with players and parents and the administration is that we want to be the best boys 5A program in the state on and off the court. So that's kind of, you know, emphasizing that off the court stuff, because I think that goes a long way.
The complete coach.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want to shortchange Max here and all the other sports, so we should yes. move on. We should have you after at least after you've done it for a year, have you on and talk just about the differences that you find between coaching the girls' team and coaching the boys, because I'm particularly interested in that.
Yeah, no,
more attention. I think I'm guessing there'd be more attention on the
for
boys
sure.
Team.
And I know that we've talked. You know, if I wasn't so busy, like one of the things I'd actually like to do.
Yeah.
Here at KRFY is start a show about leadership and stuff like that. But, you
We've
know, just time
that.
Time wise,
yeah.
just, yeah, got some other Someday. Things on my plate. But yeah. I actually have a question for Max.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's change. Okay, now we shift our chairs here. Now we're pointing at Max.
Yeah. And so Max, you just had a story recently about the new track at Sandpoint High School and like kind of the impact that that's had on the track program. Can you kind of tell us, one, about this new track, and then two, like where it has been benefiting the Sandpoint High School track program?
Yeah, I mean, the last time, you know, major upgrades were done to the track at Sandpoint High was 1993. I mean, there's been some small ones in between, but, you know, 2-3 years ago, I guess the last 2-3 years, track has actually been deemed unfit to even host any meets on. I've been told by lots that wasn't even really suitable to practice on, you know, lots of sinkholes and lots of torn up places and on every area. And with all this new equipment and the whole resurfacing of the track, we've been able to host 2 meets so far this year. We'll have another one on Monday, a duel versus Lake City. And it seems to have been benefiting the team tremendously. Lots of records falling this year. And for that all to come together, really, you know, I was told it really wasn't even supposed to happen yet, you know, but it's all completed thanks to everyone kind of working together, you know, whether that's, you know, Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer, Athletic Director TJ Clary, and then the Facilities Committee, which Dave Demers, now coaching in some capacity for 42 years between all the track programs. Yeah, them all coming together and, you know, kind of a whole community effort making it happen. So it's been sweet.
And speaking of Dave Demers, what's the track's name?
Yeah. David R. Demers, track and field complex. And, you know, kind of the story is that, you know, when he had retired years ago, about 6-7 years ago, he didn't actually know it was going to be named after him and kind of got faked out in a meeting and saw a bunch of colleagues and friends there that spoke on his behalf about all his accomplishments and dedication. And he kind of just tells me, hey, I'm just another guy doing stuff that some people aren't. And I thought that was funny, but it was really cool to talk to him about this new track for the paper. And he had sent me some aerial shots, I believe, his son-in-law took on a drone of like the actual track itself and him out there with his name freshly painted on the, I guess it would be the straightaway. You know, you're the last 400 meters straight away there.
Mm-hmm.
And looks really nice. It all looks really nice. I was just up there for the first time. It's actually been all done since the previous summer. But I was just up there looking at everything. It's beautiful.
Where is it?
Right at the high school, right on campus. So
behind the building?
Right to the right of the high school, behind the middle school.
Okay.
So right back there in the corner.
Yeah. So kind of if you know where the gym's at, it would be kind of to the right of the gym. And then there's the Project 92 or the Tucker Taylor Fieldhouse, and it's right behind there. So, and I think, you know, one of the things that Max brought up is that they haven't had home meets for a while. And so the next meet or duel is actually going to be, they're going to be able to have a senior night, which it probably has been right. Years since they've been able to have something like that.
Cool. Well, the folks, I suppose, can check it out. When are track meets usually held?
This one will be Monday, but, you know, generally speaking, around, at least in North Idaho, they're kind of unpredictable.
It's not every Friday or anything.
I got one, you know, Clark Fork's at Timberlake today, yesterday, Priester, Sandpoint, we're at Lakeland, and those are all invitationals, you know. Sort of when you're in more populated areas, you have dual and tri meets with other teams, but when you're in more rural area like we are, every meet's an invitational. So those Tuesday night giant invites are definitely a bit much to get in the paper, but we make it.
Yeah. That's interesting and different, you know. I learn something new about the sports culture of the area every time you're on, Max. Okay, that's tracking our time's flying by, and I know Will's got to get going. Let's run down the spring sports real quick. Baseball. How are the baseball prospects for the Sandpoint Bulldogs and the other teams in the area?
You know, baseball looking pretty good for Sandpoint. 12-12, 9-9 in the greater 6A, 5A IEL. And they had just got swept by Moscow, had to settle for the second seed in the district. But previously, literally 3 days prior, we actually swept Moscow ourselves to cap off a six-game winning streak. So it's been a very competitive year. You know, swept Moscow, swept Bonner, swept Lewiston, who's new to the league this year. We faced a really tough schedule. I'd say probably top five hardest in 5A. It's been a really good year for head coach Ricky Klontz and his squad. It's been probably most impressive it's been in a while. I know the 2023 season was pretty good, but if they can really put all the pieces together, they seem to be pretty healthy. You know, win this game versus Lewiston on Tuesday, I could see them battling pretty hard with Moscow you know, the bid. I know the bids to state are a little different this year with this whole super regional, it's called now. And, you know, I'd love to get into it, but I'm not even exactly 100% sure how it works. It does have to do with Max Preps rankings, which is a whole nother segment of things that I have opinions on.
And Max Preps is not Max.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not Max's rankings.
That's good to clarify that, because some people do think I have associations.
Well, Max Preps, that's a website, right? I mean, is it a non... I don't know. It's
something the Idaho High School Activities Association uses for rankings.
For rankings. Yeah, Jack, we need probably about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe an hour. Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, the baseball, so the post, the is it called, I guess, the baseball, the postseason is starting soon? Starting now?
Start Tuesday, home game at War Memorial Field versus Lewiston. The loser season ends.
Wow.
Winner moves on to a best of three series for the district title. So that'll be, I don't have actually a time, but we have beat Lewiston, and I believe in three or four games this year.
Okay. So the good chances against Lewiston for the season to continue. When did you say that is? At Memorial Field?
Yep, on Tuesday. Yep.
On Tuesday night?
Yeah. And one note is that you don't have to win the regional to qualify for state.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, one thing that, like I said, 30 minutes to kind of explain the new system, but that's one big thing is that, you know, Sandpoint can qualify if it's ranking in Max Preps is high enough.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a good note. And Moscow is the defending state champs. So it's,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very competitive.
Interesting. And that who we just lost to, but had won, had beaten before. Okay. The golf season is current, is present,
For Priest River and Clark Fork. And Priest River has a very talented team right now. And they've had seven invitationals so far this year. Palmer Coleman, senior, has won, has been the medalist honor at six of them. He just recently shot a three under, no, what was that? He shot a two under par 70 at Mirror Lake up in Bonner's Ferry. He shot a one under par over in Kellogg. Forget what course that was. You know, it all kind of blends together every day. But he's extremely impressive. And, you know, he just shot a three over par 69 at the Ranch Club in Priest River. I didn't a lot of people know about the Ranch Club. It's a nine-hole course over there between Priest River and Old Town. And you know, of course, they have a lot of other really good sophomores on the team, and they have actually won two invitationals in a row now, the boys over there. And, of course, they have a senior girl named Peyton Yount, who's also very talented. And I would look for all the Palmer, Peyton, to do really well at state in the 3A classification.
Okay. How about that? Golf is such an individual sport, but it's a... So can individuals qualify, like, for the state tournament, even if the team doesn't? Okay. Like,
yeah,
the best
absolutely.
Golfer in the state might not be on the best team, but could still go and win the state tournament,
I'm
guessing.
And Palmer is the defending state champion
at
2A.
Go.
So,
okay.
And Clark Fork returned their team after a year hiatus this year. They didn't have a team last year, and were able to put it together this year. They were just at the Shoshone Golf Club yesterday.
Where do they golf?
All Clark over, Fork. You know.
Yeah.
They actually have their own little course over at the Wampus. It's called Wampus Course. It's kind of like a disc golf Golf hybrid. Okay. I will say for the holes they are, the greens are very rough. So actually, the greens are rough, essentially. So yeah. I was over there earlier this year. We were kind of talking about that, and they do. That's where they practice right now, but yeah. Not ideal.
Yeah, tough to work on your putting if you don't have a green.
It's essentially rough.
Okay. Softball is right now, if I have that right.
Good to mention. We have 4 wins this year, which has been more than the last 2, and we defeated Moscow for the first time since 2022, defeated Lakeland for the first time since 2021. And those are both league wins. Actually, our first league win since 2022, so... credit to Leah Platt and the program for, you know, I think they're doing some good things for the softball community, especially with the travel ball, the North, just called the North here in Sandpoint that competes during the summer. And looks like they're trending in the right direction. And they're still in the regular season. They'll face Lewiston, I believe, at Lewiston for a doubleheader on Tuesday as well.
Mm-hmm. Tennis?
Tennis, quick mention, tennis, they're still undefeated. Mm-hmm. So 7-0-2, they tied Coeur d'Alene in Lake City, and Pepper Rickert, sophomore, granddaughter of head coach Trent Anderson, has now won her 9th straight perfect match. Not only has she not lost a match, she has not lost a single game, so she's won every match 6-0-6-0. If she keeps this up, it'll be, she was actually recently named the 6A-5A Girls Tennis Athlete of the Year by the North Idaho Hall of Fame, and if she keeps this up, we're seeing unprecedented stuff. And
wow,
you know, North Idaho tennis ranks, even statewide tennis ranks. She's currently ranked in the official tennis rankings, the number 2 player in the entire like Western Pacific Northwest region. Like, it's wow. Pretty phenomenal.
Really? Okay. And she is
just a sophomore, and the whole team itself is like really good. I mean, you have Bella Bailey in the number 2 spot, who's dominating most of her matches. Aubrey Knowles, who played basketball for Coach Love here, and Amelia Polson, just a freshman. Their doubles should make it really far at state.
So. Cool. The last sport I think that is currently in season is track and field, which I guess we kind of talked about the new track, but.
We'll highlight some record breaking quick. And I know the 4x100 relay record was broken on the boys' side. The school record is broken. And the 4x2, those were both held, both 1993, those records were, by the same individuals. And then, if I can get it off the top of my head here, I believe the 4x1 was broken by Isaac Schmidt, Van Lee, Maverick Gomrez, and Cameron Ziarnik. And the 4x2 is broken by Isaac Schmidt, Van Lee, Maverick Gomez, and Trey Blumenberg. Hope that's right. I know there's a 1 difference on each side, but
yeah.
Those records were broken. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I know the boys was for the 4x2 was 129 point, and the 4x1 was in the 43s, maybe. You know, I've had to look at that again, but. Those records were broken. Shooter Jones, sophomore, broke the school triple jump record. That was a 45-year standing record. He recently jumped 44 feet, 10 and a half inches. That is very far, by the way. Understand. And Jetta Tate, who also played basketball under Coach Love, she's a junior, has improved her own school record by almost about 20 feet this year in the javelin. She threw 132 feet and 3 inches. Again, for people unsure about measurements, that's extremely far, and she's definitely a contender to win the state title this year. And no one's actually really close to her. Between all classifications, she has the best mark by over 12 feet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So
it's not really that close. She's really good.
Wow.
If we have some time, I would like to shout out some pre-striver records, too. We have a couple. Braden LaManna, senior, committed to Treasure Valley Community College next year. He broke the 2-mile with a time of 9:35. That broke a also 45-year standing record. Crushed it by over 16 seconds, actually.
Whoa.
He also has the 1,600-meter record now. He ran a 4:27. The old record was in 1991. That was a 4:32. So beat that up by about 5 seconds. That's a crush, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's really it on the pre-server side. Watch out for Nikki Pornchak, a junior. He's really close to the discus record.
Okay. There's one more sport.
Yes.
Not IHSAA sanctioned, yeah. But has a big following here in Sandpoint. So mm-hmm. I definitely want to give 60 seconds to lacrosse. How's that going?
Okay.
Yeah, girls just, they won 15-5 versus Meade last night. That'll be in tomorrow's paper. Couldn't quite squeeze it all in today. Mm-hmm. And then boys lacrosse just had their senior night last night. They lost to Spokane Stealth 10-4. Lots of really strong league newcomers to the IHSLL North Division this year. The girls also won 14-0 versus Meade the other day, too. So, I mean, the boys have had some good wins, too. They've beaten Chesterton of Notre Dame, which is from Spokane Valley. They beat them 16-1 at a game earlier this year. Lots of underclassmen on this boys lacrosse team. And a lot of their starters are freshmen and sophomores. Couple years, boys lacrosse would be really, really good.
Yeah, I think the youth program, when you start to look at it, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of kids in Bonner County that are participating in that program. So
really, no other area in North Idaho even has a girls lacrosse team. Sandpoint's the only one. Huh. So they compete in the Washington, it's called the Washington School Girls Lacrosse Association. They compete in the Eastern Division of Washington.
Huh. Well, hey, why not? If there's nobody in Idaho, go to Washington. There's no summer sports or no school-sanctioned summer sports? What?
No, we'll do Legion baseball as usual. They'll have a 19U and a 16U team there, North Idaho Lakers. And I've started covering the North Travel softball just because, I want to keep myself busy. And they have an 18U and 16U team that I follow. And, I'll do that. I'm also going to take a break this summer. I'm going to 8 days I'm going to take completely off from.
Wow.
And I'm going to head back to Pennsylvania and New York with my girlfriend. She's from Buffalo, and we're going to do a little back home trip.
Cool.
But besides that, I keep myself pretty busy in the summer.
So. Yeah. So do you, Mr. Love?
Yep.
Coach Love, you. What is your summer coaching activities entail, if any?
I mean, so basically, we have a lot of regulations during this time of year, but as soon as we'll call it the IHSAA calendar for the school year ends, then all those restrictions are lifted off. So we're able to hold practices. We're able to compete in tournaments. One of the things that I'm going to be doing is also working with some coaches I know in North Idaho. So, for example, we'll have a kind of a scrimmage, if you will, with Lake City. We'll do a lot of small-sided games, probably be about 2.5 hours. And then, this is also kind of breaking news, but Coeur d'Alene High School just hired Kent Lease, who was was a former coach at Coeur d'Alene, also a former coach for Sandpoint, and he teaches at Sandpoint High School, one of my good friends. But anyway, he was just hired, so we'll probably do something similar there. But we'll probably go to about 3 tournaments, I think, and then we've got like some of the scrimmages and then a couple of games lined up. So from kind of May 18th, I think, is the day, that Monday, to the end of June, we're actually pretty busy doing a lot of basketball activities. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're well over time, as always, and that's the way it goes. But it's time now for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Bird Note at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for Otto's all day long. And thank you very much, Max, for coming in.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on your day off here, Will. Okay.
Well, there's never a day off,
Jack. Not true.
That's true.
Like I said, the big money that I make here at KRFY,
that's right.
I got to come in. So.
Yeah, you got to keep your contract active. Yep. Okay. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week, and thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio. On now to the music.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.